You know, and I wanted to begin today's message by thanking Stacy Corwin, and I know that she's not here today, but that's okay. I wanted to thank her especially for coming up front last Sunday and sitting down and sharing her struggle that she's had with idolatry, and specifically the idolatry of food. It's not always easy to stand up and tell your story and tell what God is doing in your life. And just to throw this out there, we're going to practice that next Sunday. Next Sunday, I hope this doesn't scare anyone off. Please don't let it scare anyone off. We're going old school next Sunday. So next Sunday will be Testimony Sunday, and I will not force anyone to tell me what God's doing in your life, but I do want to give an opportunity for people to share what God is doing in their life, because that's what church is all about. I get encouraged when I hear about what God is doing and how He's working in someone's life, just like everyone else. So next Sunday, that's what we're going to do. Looking forward to it. But I wanted to thank her for coming up and sharing last Sunday as she helped us with idolatry and how she was able, with God's help, to overcome that idolatry in her life. You know, it's a reminder to each and every one of us that God is the one who helps His children and allows them to repent. He's the one who guides us in that. He's the one that helps us in that. And we should never, ever forget that. And we should be excited about the things that He's doing in our life. Now, as we get started here this morning, if we examine ourselves and really look at our lives, we will understand that there is sin that we face each and every day. There is sin that happens in our lives. But as we look at that and understand it, we have got to remember of where we are in this world, and that sin will always, always war against us. This truth had me questioning some things, and I pray that we understand and know who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. Today I want us to look at sin and what it does in the life of each and every one of us. It is a detriment and a harm, and it causes us to come out of relationship with God, and it hurts our relationship with other people. And if we don't wear steel-toed shoes, and I don't know if Jan noticed, I had them up here this morning. That's what the shoes are. If we don't have steel-toed shoes on this morning, I'm sorry. I'm going to be stepping on some toes today. But not just yours. I'm going to be stepping on mine as well. Because whenever a pastor stands behind the pulpit, he's preaching to himself first and then others. So not beating around the bush this morning, we're going to dive headfirst into the doctrine of sin. And this doctrine has challenged me my entire spiritual life. And you're going to say, well, Scott, how in the world could the doctrine of sin challenge you as a pastor your entire spiritual life? Well, I want you to think about this. How many pastors have you heard? How many pastors have you sat under your entire life? How they teach just a little different. Not that they're wrong or incorrect, but just their teaching is a little different. And that has been my case. I mean, I have sat under pastors who have taught that sin is something that a Christian can overcome and that you can get over and through. I've heard other pastors teach that it's not something that you're going to get over and get through. And how do you reconcile those two different types of teachings? It's difficult and it's hard and it makes us question. But I want us to go into this message today looking at a question we're going to ask from an identity standpoint, where we belong, who we belong to, because this is going to determine how we answer the question. It's going to change how we view things. It's our identity. Who are we in Christ? I've heard many pastors and teachers contradict themselves over the years, but each of their teachings was not coming from this identity viewpoint. That's what we're going to be looking at today. Now, we can go from one extreme to the other. We can go from completely perfect to not completely perfect. There is two extremes that we look at. And that's what we do typically as human beings. We'll go from one extreme to the other, but we forget that there is an awful lot of space in between those two points. And guess what? We live somewhere in between those two points. And that's what we have to go into this looking at, and how we have to remember it. So here's the question. Are Christians sinners? Are Christians sinners? Are Christians sinners? This is a great question. And it's really easy to answer it that quick without stopping and thinking about it and praying about it. We have to remember that we live in between two worlds right now. We live in between two worlds right now. We live in this reality that we know, that we live in, the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, the sin that we commit, and we're waiting on something new that is going to come, the new heaven and the new earth. We live in between those two realities right now. So how do we deal with sin? Well, if we look in 1 John, we can read what appears to be a contradiction. A contradicting view of Christian and how they deal with sin. How do we deal with sin in the Christian life? I think that it's a good time to look at the Scripture, to dive into it, see what it really teaches us about sin and our identity as we are maturing in our faith and a follower of Jesus Christ. We must allow truth to lead us as we grow, so that we're not misled by our adversary. We're not misled and tripped up by Satan, because he will do it. So are Christian sinners? Let's look at 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9 as we get started. John writes these words, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us all of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Now, it's pretty clear here that John is saying that, you know, we have all sinned, right? That sin is there, that we're going to continue to sin, because that's what the Scripture teaches us. That's what the Scripture tells us. But as we begin to pray about this and we think about it and we look at it from a Christian perspective and a Christian point of view, we have to understand that we are being transformed into holiness. We're being transformed into righteousness. We're being transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. And John goes on to say in 1 John 3, verse 6, "No one who lives in him keeps on sinning." How do we reconcile those two almost contradicting verses? It's Christianity 101. I mean, we all know that we have sin in our life. But how does John say there in 1 John 3, verse 6, that no one who lives in him keeps on sinning? This can be very confusing. It can be very confusing if we do not understand our identity in Christ, because that has everything to do with how we deal with these two verses. How do we go from sinner to being a Christian? There is a difference between sinner and Christian. Now hang with me. Don't tune me out, okay? As we dive into this question, we must first understand that there are two simultaneous works that God has done in every believer's life. In every one of the lives of a believer of Christ, there are two works that God is doing. If we believe, if we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus from the cross, in an instant, the moment that happens, justification happens. So what is justification? Justification is a very important term that we all need to be reminded of. If we put our faith in the sinless Jesus, at justification, God applies that sinless blood to our life. And in an instant, He does not see our sin anymore. He sees the blood of Christ, who justifies us from all unrighteousness. Justification happens that quick. So where do I look in the Scripture to find this point of view? It comes from Romans 3, 21 through 28. But I wanted to make one thing before we go any further. I want to make one thing perfectly clear. I am in no means and in no way suggesting that a Christian is superior to anyone else. It can be easy to think that, but that's not the case at all. Just because I have Jesus and His blood applied to my life does not make me any better than anyone else. And this justification is from God and through His grace. It is a work of grace that God does this in our life. Okay? So let's go ahead and read Romans 3, verses 21 to 28. Let me get over there. Paul says this, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that come by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, by that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the observance of the law. Is God a God of Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who justifies the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. We uphold it." I know I went a little longer there, but I thought that it was important. Justification is an instantaneous act of God's grace for all who put their faith in Jesus. Justification does not come to us by anything that we have done except wholeheartedly believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we have put our trust and faith in Him. That is the only work that we have to do with this. And that is because Jesus' finished work on the cross was once and for all. It was done. There is no amount of good work that we can do to ever deserve justification. There's no amount of following the rules that will ever get us to righteousness. There is no amount of love that I can show to other people that will ever justify me. In God's sight, it is from faith alone, period. That is it, faith alone. And when we put our faith in Jesus, God instantly justifies us, and we go from sinner to Christian. Do you see the difference? We have to look at it from an identity perspective, I think. So where does that leave us in answering the question? Are Christians sinners? Well, this is where it begins to get messy. This is where it gets messy. We all agree from the verses that we've just read that there is no difference from Gentile to Jew, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that comes through Christ Jesus. All of us have sinned. There is no question in that. The question is, what do we do with it? How does God work in our life after we have come to faith? Remember, I said there were two works. The first one is automatic. It's instantaneous, justification. The next one is where it gets messy, because this is where it takes an entire lifetime to accomplish, sanctification. Sanctification. When I come to Jesus Christ, the very moment that I put my faith in Him, God justified me. But guess what? Did I look any different than I did the moment before? Heavens no. But there was something that happened that made me new in Christ Jesus. And in that newness, I may not look righteous, but God says that I am. And looking righteous is something that is going to take a lifetime to accomplish. There's a lot of work that has to be done here. And God's willing to do the work with us. And that's what we're going to talk about, is sanctification. Sanctification is that process. We are not adding anything to our lives when we come to faith in Christ. Sometimes I think people think that. I'm going to add Jesus to my life. Oh no, you're not adding Jesus to your life. He is your life. There's no addition to it. He is your life. And He is going to take the reins. He's going to take control if we let Him. And if we let Him, oh man, the work really begins. We have been made new in spirit, but we still live in this physical world. And that can be very difficult because we still live with that sinful nature. That nature that has bent completely away from God, doesn't want anything to do with Him. We have that nature that lives inside us. But as a Christian, we need to look different. We need to be different. So I would say it like this. We were sinners. We were sinners. I didn't care about God's law when I knew nothing about Him. Didn't care one bit. Why? I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I'm the captain of this ship. No one's going to tell me what to do. Met anybody like that? Have you looked in the mirror? We're like that. But what happens when we become a follower of Christ? Our view begins to change real quick. When Jesus Christ comes in and He begins to speak to a person and He begins to show them the sin in their life, what happens to us? Oh my gosh, I have sinned against Almighty Holy God. And I deserve hell. That's what I deserve. But God saved me and said, "You are my son now. And you're going to be different. It's going to take us a while to walk through this, but you are going to be different." And the sanctification process, it begins. And when the sanctification process begins, guess what? Sinning should become less. Not more, but less. Why? Because I should begin to see things from a very different perspective. I should be seeing things from a godly point of view. I should love the things that God loves. And you better believe I should begin to hate the things that God hates. But it's not always that easy to give them up, is it? It's not easy at all. Because they've been ingrained in us. It is ingrained in us. And we have to walk through the process that God has for us. So if we look at Romans 6 verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, though through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has any mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer your parts of your body as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Paul begins by asking a question. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Shall we go on sinning like we did before we knew Jesus? Heavens no. We should not go on sinning like we did before, because we have been made new. We have been made new. I took that old Scott Moisner and I put him on a cross and I crucified him there. And there he better stay, because now I live for Jesus. And if I live for Jesus, I had better live differently than I did before. I can't live the same way. I have to let it go. We are not slaves to sin any longer, but we are slaves to righteousness and goodness. And we better be moving ourselves closer. God better be moving ourselves closer to the image of Jesus and holiness. That's what this whole life is about. So as we begin to close up here today, let's ask the question again. Are Christians sinners? I don't think so. Do we fall into sin? Yes. Yes, we do. But what happens when we fall into sin? Is it different than it was before? When I fell into sin before I knew Jesus Christ, I didn't care. When I fall into sin now, guess what happens? Scott, wake up. What you're doing here is not right. This feeling of dread, and it comes over you like, I cannot believe I just done that. We recognize it. We repent of it, just like we've always done. And we move away from it. Do people have a hard time in sin? You better believe they do. I'm not denying that one bit. We can look at this. Sin on one side, we're darker gray. But as God moves us into righteousness, and I see the sin getting less and less in my life, guess what happens? It gets lighter and lighter. Why? Because the purity of Jesus Christ is coming into my life, and I am becoming clean. He's made me as white as snow, but by golly, I still live in this mess of a world, and I'm still working myself. I'm working out that salvation with fear and trembling, but I'm moving closer to righteousness. Hopefully each and every day. So am I a sinner? No. Do I fall into sin? Yes, at times. But by golly, I have the blood of Jesus Christ covering me. I'm a Christian first. That's how I want to be known. If I stand up here and I say to people, I'm a sinner. If you're a non-Christian and you hear that, what do you think? Why do I need to follow Christ? They're no different than I am. There's nothing special about them. Let me tell you how special you are. He went to the cross and died for you. That's how special we are. We're different. And we need to be different. And we need to show it in all kinds of love. When God calls you, He calls you by name. He doesn't call you sinner. He calls you by name. Never forget that you are a child of the living God. You're a child of the living God. That's our identity. Satan will say to you, you sinner. Not there anymore. Paul understood that this war rages in our bodies and in our minds. He talks about it in Romans 7. I'm not going to read Romans 7, but I encourage you to go there and read it. It rages inside us, but yet we have to focus. I think so many times we focus on the wrong things. We focus on the sin. But Paul also said in Romans 5, verses 20 and 21, he said, the law was brought in so that trespasses might increase. But where sin increases, grace increases all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I think Paul was talking to the Christians there. When you fall into sin, recognize it, repent of it, but understand that where sin increases, God's grace for His children increases all the more. That's something that we can stand on. So when sin comes knocking on your door, is He a comfortable old friend that you invite in to reminisce with? I hope not. I pray that when sin comes knocking on the door, we send Him packing to where He belongs. Or do I regard sin that comes knocking in my life with hatred? I'm not that person anymore, and you get away. You leave me alone. If I regard sin with hatred as hatred to an enemy, as hatred to Satan himself, we're on the right track. You're on the right track if that's the way you look at it. And never forget, don't ever forget what Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this, that He, God Himself, who began a good work in you, He will carry it out and on until completion. Until the day of Christ Jesus. If God has started something in you, if He has started a work in you, you can guarantee that He will finish it. He will finish it. Question is, are we going to work with Him? Let's get this process going a little quicker. Let's get this job done. I don't mind starting the project. I hate the mess in the middle, but man, I love the finished work. Finished work is coming. Finished work is coming. One of these days we'll be out of this sinful place, and we'll be where we belong. But until then, we still have work to do, right? It's a process. Let's remember that. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace, for Your love and Your mercy. Father, and I pray that as we examine who we are in Christ, that You bring the truth out in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives, that you remind us who we are, that we are yours and yours alone. Father, I pray that you would sink this message deep, that we would go from this place, that we would help others not to see their sin, but to introduce them to the one who can do something about it. Father, let us be about the business that Jesus has called us to love others more and more. Father, we love you and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.